Alright, you ready, guys?
Do you like
nope, you
movie
don't, you're
podcast
not allowed to sing.
About
you're
indie
not,
films?
you're not,
it's people.
you're
Okay.
not allowed to sing on the show. You know this. Okay, here we go. You still got, you got to tag something on every fucking time.
I'm 12. What can I do?
Alright, here we go.
Do you like movie podcasts hosted by inebriated people? That's Kai with the cracking voice and Heather's touched by evil. One thinks he's Spider-Man, the other is a ninja. It's the Man I Love Film Podcast, it's the MILFcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to MILFcast. This is the Man I Love Films podcast where we don't do movie reviews. Nope, it's a place where people like films get together and deal with that shit. I am your host, Kai. Joining me, as always, the insatiably satiable Heather Baxendale. Say hello, Heather.
Hi, I think I'm going to satiate my pants off because I don't want to wear them anymore and it's making me sad.
You got a little Connery in there when you're doing that. Let's go spend a moment with you.
And now it's time for A Moment with Heather.
All right, Heather, so like my wife always says, it wouldn't be A Moment with Heather unless I talked about Kai. So I'm just going to bring this up, and I'll try to bring it around to you. I wanted to bring this up at the beginning of the show because I believe I mentioned it at the end of last show, and I know there's all those people out there that listen to the game and turn it off, and I don't know why you do that, because we have fun banter right after, and then we do a little spiel, and then Heather says weird shit, and then we put outtakes on, so you should be listening to the whole damn thing. But for those of you who don't, I have like an announcement to make. So Heather was the first guest I ever had on the show, episode one. She became co-hosting through like 6, 7, 8, and by episode 10, she was the official co-host. One of the episodes I did, I think episode number 3, was with Scott Knopf and Whitney Borup, who were movie podcasters and writers and who became friends of ours. Well, Scott, he went into rapping. Scott's a really funny, clever, witty, quick guy, and he started doing rap battles, a white guy in Utah, and turns out was really good at them. Ended up putting out a mixtape and then doing his first album, second album, under the name Atheist, at which point he got sued by a band from, like, Denmark or something, some metal band that was using the name Atheist, and then changed his name to Rhyme Time and put out his third album, under the name Rhyme Time, I think it was 4 years ago. And I have been a fan of Scott since the beginning. I bought every album he's ever done. And then when I started doing art around the time of Gnarly, I said, hey, man, you should really hire me to do your album sometime, jokingly, thinking there's no way he would. But it turns out he took me up on the offer. So the reason I mentioned this, so Heather and I have been doing this now for going on 11 years in July, 100 episodes together as co-hosts. We've had two hiatuses in that time. One was in 2013 where we were both going through some stuff, took a little time off. And then in 2017, I believe, we stopped for a couple years. We weren't sure if we were going to continue with the show. We got into that 100 episodes and we were torn. But ultimately, we loved doing this together, so we brought it back. Anyway, we took a little two-month hiatus just recently because Scott hit me up to finally do his album, and it just dropped this week. And for those of you that don't listen to the show, please go check it out. The album is called Season 4. The rapper's name Rhyme Time. You can listen to it on Bandcamp. You can buy a copy, very cheap. I think they're like 10, 11 bucks, something like that. And it comes with 3 bonus tracks on there, and I did the artwork on the cover, the back cover, and on the CD. And he's actually selling T-shirts and stickers with my artwork, so please go check it out. There's my shameless plug and a little bit of our history. Now, to bring it back to you, Heather.
Oh, the part I like.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is putting you on the spot. This is going to be a little more in a moment with Heather. You recently had a big accomplishment, and whether or not you want to get in details about it, that's fine. But I think you should announce what you just did because I thought it was pretty amazing.
Okay, so it is a little magical. I finished my third book last weekend. It's still just in first draft form, but I did complete it. I completed it to the point where, and I feel confident enough about it, and I'm serious enough about it that I even wrote the dedications out. So it's pretty super serial.
Yeah, and I'm really proud of her because we had recorded after we did an episode with Zach Shirk, we did an episode with our buddy Jason, which we do every Halloween. That became the Nightmare Before Christmas because we released it in January. The reason why, I was spending every waking second from October to December working on this album, and at the same time, Heather was sending me her page counts every day and her word counts, and they were growing by tens of thousands every time, and she was sending me the chapter titles and all that, and I'm really excited to work on it. But we finished roughly about the same time, and it was kind of cool to be on that little journey with you. So I'm really proud of you, and I just wanted you to know that and to let everyone else know how proud I am of you, and I can't wait to read it.
Thank you so much. And in equal measure, right back to you. It did kind of work out. Like, I know some people get scared when we say that we're going to take a hiatus, especially after episode. But we weren't planning on taking a hiatus. I knew that you were going to be busy for a while, and I've been injured and haven't been able to run, too. So I thought, oh, you know what? Let's do what I love and just see how it works. Actually, it was Dylan's wife that inspired me to start writing again. And it just took off. And that is literally where I've been spending all of my spare time over the last 3.5 months. And yeah, probably over the next few, but it's been great.
And we don't want people to worry about a hiatus anymore. We're back. We've chosen to do this because we like doing it. We're not putting pressure on ourselves this time. So if we do have something coming in our lives and then we have to take a little time off to take care of it, we're going to do that because there's no point in pressure. You know, we're not getting paid to do this. We should get paid to do this, but we're not. So, you know, we're doing this for fun, and we're still surprised even after those hiatuses that we took how many people still download, how many people come up and tell us this funny thing we did on the show, and we didn't even know they listened. It's, like, amazing every time. So we appreciate everyone who listens and that's stuck by us for the last 10 years and all the new people that have discovered us along the way. So thank you all so much, and let's go start the show.
This has been A Moment with Heather.
Joining us today is a man. Now, I mentioned back in, I believe it was September, we had Zach Shirk on, and we intended to have this gentleman on 2 months later after we did our regular October episode that we do every year. Just like I said, everything happened. We didn't get around to it, and they took a little hiatus too, but we're lucky enough now to have Zach Shirk's podcast partner from the Matt Makes Zach podcast, Matt Mears. Say hello, Matt.
Hello. Thank you guys for having me.
Matt, you know there's something we're going to get into today, right?
I do. Okay. I do.
And you know probably when we'll get into it, so I won't bring it up yet. But I just want to know.
All right.
How long have you been really wrong at things? Is it something that started recently, or have you struggled with it your whole life?
Oh, 31 years.
Right? 31 years?
I've done everything wrong the whole time.
That sounds sad. Hey, Matt, please tell everybody that maybe didn't hear the Zach episode, tell them a little bit about the show and where they can find you online at the front.
Well, the full title of the show is Matt Makes Zach Watch Horror Movies. Zach had come to me kind of being like, oh, I'm kind of starting to get into horror. I don't know. It seems interesting. And I love horror movies. So we just started talking more and more about it. And now it's a show where every week I bring him a horror movie and I say, you got to see this. Or we have a guest come on, like Kai, and it's not even necessarily that the horror movie is good, it's just you got to see this movie, is kind of the theme of the show.
We stand by good as relative. Like, I think Roadhouse is a fantastic fucking movie, and it's not. But to me, it is.
Right. But it is. Yeah, exactly. And horror, too, that's a genre where it doesn't have to be good to be entertaining.
Exactly. Like, I have seen some truly terrible movies that will have one sequence that is so, like, standout fantastic that I'm like, you gotta watch this. Well, or that is so standout terrible that I'm like, it's in my top 10 of all time. Like, one of my favorite horror movies of all time is Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, that movie rules, but it's also very bad.
It's yeah. Very fun.
And that happens with music a lot, too. There's a lot of songs where I really can't stand the whole song, but I'll listen to it for that one part I really like.
Yeah.
Yeah, good add-on. All right, so a little quick backstory. I met Zach. Zach also does cons with his wife at Zombie Teddy on Instagram. Zach is a really good artist and a nice guy. And I got to say, when I got asked to be on the show, because Zach had come up to me at a show to tell me he was doing a podcast, and then it turned out to be about movies. And then I said, hey, I do a movie podcast. And then it turned into why he did it and that he grew up a Jehovah's Witness like I did and didn't have access to such things. So he's coming at these with new eyes. And so when I got asked to be on the show, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I've been on a ton of podcasts. I know a ton of people that do them. I don't expect much, but I went and listened to some episodes, and you guys have a great rapport, a really good back and forth.
Oh, well, thank
and
you.
It's actually a really good listen. I wish I commuted more so that I could listen to more of it. But I try to listen whenever I can, and you guys do really well together. So I definitely want to have you on for that reason too.
Thank you.
But yeah, and Matt's Matt, would you say you're the lead voice on the show?
It's changing a little bit more actually as we get further in and just more into these movies. But I tend to kind of be the guiding force. I tend to pick the movies a little bit more, do research on them. I've seen them already. So, yeah, I guess, you know.
Who's funnier, though?
Well, that's
I guess Zach, but...
I appreciate you.
I bet Zach would, and I bet Zach would say you, so in fairness...
No.
Yeah.
He'd be wrong, so...
Well, there you go. Prove my point. All right. So, well, it's great to have you. We're going to do the Series 7. We're going to play the game today. Before we do all that, we'd like to talk about what we've been watching.
What have you seen lately? What you've been watching? What have you seen lately?
Okay, Matt, you're our guest. Is there a film or show or something you've seen recently that you feel compelled to speak of?
I actually finally just recently took the deep dive into watching all of Hannibal.
Really?
The TV show from a few years ago.
That's where the pandemic's gotten us.
Skeptical. Huh?
That's where the pandemic's gotten us. You can go start watching shit now because nothing new is coming out.
It's true. I'm finally catching up on everything from 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So how is it?
It's very good. Although I'm starting to slow down a little bit because in the last season they start to just adapt one of the books.
Mm-hmm.
They start adapting Red Dragon, which has two movies, and I've read the book already, so it's not their fault. I'm just like, oh, yeah, I know it happens. You know what I mean? But Mads Mikkelsen is so good as Hannibal Lecter.
He's so good
at
everything.
He looks it. Yeah, he looks it. That's a show that's been on my list to watch for quite some time, and everyone seems to have exactly the same response as you. So you're just fulfilling my destiny.
Yes.
Real quick.
It's definitely worth the watch. And some of the stuff they do on the show, I cannot believe that it aired on network television.
It gets a little gnarly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm curious. So now they have the Starling shows coming out, right, about Clarice. Are they tied together at all?
I don't believe that they are because there's a whole rights thing with the books. Mm. Another company owns the rights to Silence of the Lambs. And then Dino De Laurentiis, who produced some of the movies and the Hannibal TV show, owns the rights to all of the other Hannibal Lecter books.
Mm.
So it's always kind of been up in the air. Like, they actually, for the Clarice show, I don't know if Hannibal Lecter will be on it, because they have to get permission from Dino De Laurentiis, because he owns the rights to, like, Hannibal Lecter's first appearance.
Dino De Laurentiis over there, like Sony with Spider-Man, just waving it in everybody's face, dickhead.
Well, not always, because when they went to make Silence of the Lambs, it was right after he'd made Manhunter, which was, like, a huge bomb. So he was like, you can have it for free. I don't even care.
Now, hold up. Was Manhunter...
Silence of the Lambs is a huge hit. And he's like, no, I own it. I own all of it.
Yeah, exactly. Is Manhunter... I thought Manhunter was a TV movie for some reason.
It kind of has a TV movie vibe. It's like Michael Mann's like second movie.
Yeah, but was it released in theaters?
I think it had a theatrical release.
We'll have to look at it. We'll have to fact check that.
It
yeah.
It did.
It did? Okay. The most frequently quoted line from Manhunter and the Red Dragon in my house is, stood right there, watched him, didn't you, you son of a bitch? I was so happy they made Norton do it. It was so good. So based on, like, where would you rank it in comparison to the films? Like,
I mean, Silence of the Lambs is, like, number one for me. And then I'd probably go Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal the TV show. Manhunter, Red Dragon, Hannibal, and then I've never even watched Hannibal Rising, so.
Fair enough. Okay. So, but you recommend the show?
Highly recommended.
Okay. All right. Well, let me give you mine real quick, and I'm not going to get into it because I'm just starting it. I just want an opinion from you guys. So, Heather and I do a trivia thing every week, and I heard you guys talk. One of my friends, Dylan, our sometimes co-host, he started watching The Expanse, and I know Heather... Heather's watch it. Now, I've started The Expanse 2 times and stopped within 5 episodes.
Okay.
Okay. I've decided, because Dylan got on and he said, hey, this is a lot like Game of Thrones in space. And I was like, well, I never really thought about it like that. So I'm giving it another shot. I'm about 4 episodes in. I don't really have an opinion yet because it's been long enough to where I don't remember enough. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I knew Thomas Jane was in it, but I forgot everything he did. So cool. It's got a lot of great actors in it, some characters, some... Thomas Jane, I think, is a fairly big name for a show. It's good. It's good. I'm seeing it a little bit through new eyes and enjoying it. Do I stick with it? Do I need to stick with it?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Tell me why.
This is exactly what I was going to talk about today, because I finally just got caught up. And they just had the season 5 finale, which I'm still completely fucking wrecked from. Okay, this show, I would not necessarily call it Game of Thrones in space. However, I understand why people are kind of making those connections. I don't get the character archetypes that are constantly being referenced. All of these characters are very much so their own, and they develop slowly and organically over time. There's characters that I hated in the beginning and I fucking love now, and there's some that I loved in the beginning and I hate now. And
that's always good. That's good.
It's a real journey. There's authenticity to the growing and the changes and the responses to all of these massive things that are happening in this universe, which is just astronomical, which works because it's science fiction. But basically, I had the same exact experience you did, Kai. I watched the first season a couple years ago, and I didn't even remember anything past the first like couple episodes. But I also watched it while I was working, which is not a show that you should be doing other things while you're viewing. You need to watch every little detail, because like Game of Thrones, it is very, very detail-oriented, and little bits are there as foreshadowing clues or just developmental parts that have a heavier impact on things that happen down the road. This is a smart show for smart people who are patient. There's a lot of really cool special effects stuff that comes and just nails you, and like absolutely insanely overwhelming stuff. But some of the best parts of it, too, are the political aspects of it and all the different factions out in space. I mean, there's just so much to kind of immerse yourself in and digest. And then you get to sit there and let all of these crazy personalities and great actors just stew. I don't want to ruin anything, but it gets season 2. It really starts to roll.
Okay. And but then after that, here's my only issue though. You get a massive hard on for Stargate Atlantis. And I
get a part on for Stargate, period. But yes.
Okay. And I look at those shows as like borderline sci-fi original. Like it's that like sci-fi's dug this up. Battlestar Galactica is one of the best shows I ever saw. The remake with Everett James Olmos.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is where we start to filter into it's like horror or any other genre, where you have some shows that are a little bit more on the silly side and the fun side. Stargate is a fun show. Stargate is candy to just sit there and eat. It's comfort food. Battlestar Galactica is arguably a masterpiece. They're same thing with Babylon 5. I hold Babylon 5 in the highest ultimate esteem.
Really?
And I would fight everyone to the end of the moon on that.
Is it though?
It is. Yes, it is. However, it's up there as far as some of the greatest sci-fi stuff I've ever seen.
Matt, your thought, have you ever seen like Stargate or Babylon or any of those shows?
I used to watch Stargate when I would stay homesick from school. Okay. So I do love Stargate.
Okay.
You know, I missed Babylon 5, but I like J. Michael Straczynski because I'm a big Spider-Man guy. So, okay. You know.
Babylon 5 is one of those shows that you have to pedal through the first season and kind of get through the bad costumes and the fact that they were the first show to really work with CGI. And
yeah,
it really didn't work. And a lot of the stuff didn't quite pan out the way that it was supposed to. And there was certainly some awkwardness. You had a lot of like theater actors on the show too, who were a bit over the top. It definitely got a bit much there. But after that, it's also when you get Bruce Boxleitner, when he steps in season 2 and becomes Captain Sheridan, everything starts to kind of fall into place.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. Which one's Boxleitner in? Which one's he in?
Pardon?
Which one is Bruce Boxleitner in? Which show are we talking about?
He's in Babylon 5.
Oh, he's in Babylon 5. Okay, I'm ending it. We're talking about Babylon 5. So you're telling me stick with The Expanse till season 2, and it'll really pick up, and I'm going to love it.
You are. You will. You will. And plus, There's a couple of characters on there that I know you'll fucking love.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Check out Hannibal and check out The Expanse like I'm doing right now. This brings us to the end of what we've been watching. It's time to do the Series 7 Steve Singer theme thing.
Hey, you better listen up. It's time for the Series 7, so shut the fuck up.
Okay, Matty. So, we're going to do the Series 7. The Series 7 is just 7 questions meant to, you know, garner a response. They're pretty general. especially when Heather writes them. You know, you can take them seriously, you can take them foolishly, you can be sarcastic, you can be funny. Just talk. It's a podcast, for fuck's sake, okay?
All right,
so question number one. I'm going to let Heather explain. I'm going to go with Heather first. I usually go guest first, but I'm going to let Heather explain this. So this is a Heather question. Heather is obsessed with JCVD right now, and I want her to tell her a little story. But why is JCVD awesome to you, and can you spin kick in true Heather question form?
In true Heather form, okay. Well, I've talked about Jean-Claude Van Damme quite a bit, so we all know that he was very popular in my house growing up. My mom loved him. My dad actually just saw him this past week.
That's the part I want you to talk about. Besides the fact that you've been sending me to his Instagram to watch him do his dance. Jean-Claude Van Damme always dances just offbeat. Like, he just almost gets it.
If you've seen that Lionheart move, that's what he does in everything. But he throws spin kicks in there. And if you follow his Instagram, that's what you'll get to see. It's just weird, like, live videos where he's listening to Barry White and he's sitting there just dancing with his phone for like 10 minutes, and then he'll say really weird shit. It's wonderful. But I've always loved him as an actor and kind of a weird dude. But yeah, my dad went to St. Martin, which I am not advocating travel at this time, but my dad is 63 and he does what he wants.
Yeah.
So he went to St. Martin for the week with his wife, and they're staying at some resort, and my dad loves Jean-Claude too. He texts me, he goes, he doesn't look so great.
Really?
he's been running into him the whole week. He's been there, I guess he's been there the whole summer with his mom, which I've seen on Instagram. So yeah, so I've been like sitting here making basically kind of a punchline of him for the last couple months since I discovered his Instagram. And then my dad's in St. Martin with him. Like, well, we kind of had dinner together. He was like two tables over. I'm like, did you touch him? Did you ask him to spin?
I don't think Jean-Claude would look at it like that. Jean-Claude's not going to be saying he ate with your dad because he was two tables over. Your dad's going to tell that story.
Exactly. Actually, my dad didn't want to tell that story, but I told him to tell that story. I'm like, just embellish it. Roll with it. You guys are best friends now. It's fine. He has a little chihuahua, which I figured you would appreciate, Kai.
Why would I appreciate that?
Because you have little dogs.
I do. I have little yippers.
Yeah, they're little yippers. So he has a little chihuahua that he also walks all over the place.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yes, it does. So I love Jean-Claude. He's a weird, weird, odd dude. But he's from Muscles from Brussels. And now, the important part of this question is, can you spin kick? Now, Jean-Claude has never been in a movie where he doesn't spin kick. He's been in his Instagram live videos. He initiates spin kicking in the midst of dancing. My answer is, every time I try to do any kind of Jean-Claude move, I embrace my idea of Tom Segura doing an impression of Steven Seagal. And that's what I look like. You just do a little kick, just like that. So if you've ever seen that Tom Segura bit where he talks about Steven Seagal teaching people how to be police officers in his not-so-great healthy state, That's how I spin kick.
I fucking love Tom Segura. Okay.
He's great.
He is great. All right, Matt, what about you? Do you want me to repeat the question, or are you good?
Oh, I'm good. Okay. I don't think you need any reason to ask why JCVD is awesome. He's JCVD. Like, come on. He's, as you said, the muscles from Brussels. He's great. He was on Friends, and he hung out with a monkey. What more do you need to know about this man?
Okay, but he also wore baggy pleated pants and a tight tank top with a belt.
If you said anything about it, he'd spin kick you in the head. So.
Exactly. And that whole entire look is exactly for that reason. It's mobility, so he can still do the spin kicks whilst not splitting his pants.
See, there's this weird thing. So Heather grew up like, well, Matt, I'm just going to assume no spin kicking for you.
Lots of attempts at spin kicking, none successful. Yeah.
I'm more of a sweep guy. I go for the ankles. Yeah, like Heather and I kind of grew up in the height of the actioners, you know. When I was a kid, it was Arnie, you know, Sylvester Stallone blowing up, you know. Then followed by the Terminators, and then coming in like the Diehards and stuff. And a lot like horror, the best action films kind of came out of that. And then we have like knockoffs that are still good, but Statham is not what Schwarzenegger and Stallone were at that time. I'd say Bruce was probably the last big one, like true like classic action star. Sorry, Keanu, you're awesome, but different. I never really got into any of them that much. Jean-Claude was in that grouping. For whatever reason, if I always had to pick one, I had to pick. I always picked Sylvester Stallone, and it like his like for movies like Cobra and stuff that were actually kind of bad. But for whatever reason, I gravitated to him. Where like Heather's a full-on Arnie guy, and like I love Predator. Don't get me wrong, but I don't love like Commando and shit like that quite as much as like Heather might. JCVD is a weird one for me because I've heard all these stories about him off camera that made me kind of sour towards him. But if I'm gonna say why he's awesome, it's the chair splits. That's the most amazing fucking thing. I'll give you this. I love Bloodsport. For whatever reason, and I also love the Mentos thing on YouTube. Go find that JCVD Mentos. I love Time Cop, and I actually love the movie JCVD. I thought that was like kind of the most interesting and closest thing to actual acting he ever did. I don't know if I find him as awesome as you guys do. I'm a little bummed out about that.
What about Universal Soldier? That is a fantastic movie.
No, that's the Babylon of Jean-Claude movies.
No, that's one of my favorite.
That is the Babylon 5. Of Jean-Claude
and
movies.
And over and over again. I love Universal
okay,
Soldier.
I don't dislike Jean-Claude. I just don't go ape shit for him like you do. And I'm sorry about that.
Also Street Fighter. The war is canceled. We can all go home now.
That's the other thing. Every single one of those guys has some cheesy-ass line they've delivered in a movie that is just so bad. I love it. Oh, God. Okay, let's go to question two. And we'll start with Matt this time. And warning, Heather wrote question two as well.
All right.
But I think it's a fair question to ask, because even though it's not movie-related. Do you stalk anyone on social media? Who? Why? Confess? Should authorities be notified? These are her words.
You know, I'm kind of boring. I don't really. I guess I follow a lot of artists, and like I check their updates every day because I'm like interested to see what they're working on. But that's about the closest I get to like internet stalking anyone.
Yeah, I'm not a big internet stalker. I'm married, so if I go stalk some chick or something, my wife's going to find out and kill me, and I don't want that to happen because she's beautiful and I want to stay with her. So I don't do a lot of that. I'm a little similar to you. Like, I'm really obsessed with right now Jimbo Phillips and Jim Phillips, the Santa Cruz skateboard artist. And a lot of Scott's album nice. Was inspired by that style of art, and that's the kind of style of art I want to do. I'm still kind of developing my signature style for drawing, but yeah, so I find out, I look at them, and then I'll follow bands and stuff, but I don't really get crazy about it. What about you, Heather? You've got a stalker vibe.
Oh, I'm really bad at it, but I'm a total stalker.
Who do you stalk?
Mine is definitely, I mean, I probably am nothing compared to some people, but for my minimal social media interactions, if it's not Jean-Claude Van Damme, he would be number two currently, but I'll probably get bored and dump him after a while. But it's definitely Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Really?
Yes. Well, and it's not like she's so interesting or anything either. In fact, it's almost because she's not. She seems really, really accessible.
They're very cool in that they're a Hollywood couple at the height were very big in Hollywood, and they're still together and happily married. And I find that always makes me happy.
Me too. It makes me think they're like a younger version of Kurt and Goldie.
Yes.
And Freddie's, I love Freddie too. He's awesome. He's a gamer, so he's always doing live feeds on Twitch. And yes, and he does a podcast also. But she's, and they don't put pictures. They'll show pictures of their kids, but they blur out their faces, which is also
that's
really
good.
Cool. Yeah, and she doesn't like do crazy stuff, but she'll do nerdy stuff for her fans here and there. Like in the pandemic, she went and put on her Buffy first season dress. That she had the white prom dress and then the black leather jacket and the crossbow.
Yeah.
She died. Yeah, and she put that on. She goes, oh, I found this, and I figured I'd try it on and put it on for you guys. Plus, she's beautiful. I don't mind staring at her at all.
See,
she has age. She's just gorgeous.
I don't – she has an age. I didn't take this for celebrity because I always think – unless you're trying to DM constantly, I don't know if I call celebrity stalking as much as it is like just, you know – gawking.
No, I just follow her. Yeah, I gawk. I follow. That's the most I do.
If I was going to go that route, I would go Jennifer Garner, who has, like, a great Instagram and seems like the coolest person on the fucking earth.
Really?
Have you never seen her Instagram?
No.
She just did a similar one where she put a side-by-side of her getting out of, like, swimming across and getting out of a pool dripping wet on Alias versus now side-by-side, and it's hilarious. You got to check it out.
Maybe I will. Thank
and she
you.
Did. She did a one-on-one with Dr. Fauci during the pandemic. She does a lot of she does a lot of cooking, and she's super funny, and she seems super nice. So check it out. Let's go to question number three. What is your favorite 80s? I put slash 90s for you, Matt. 80s slash 90s childhood right. weekend cartoon. I said you're probably like 26, but you're 31. Did you have Saturday morning cartoons?
I'm sorry.
Did they have Saturday morning cartoons when you were a kid? Was that still around?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
They did? Okay, I felt like it died in the 80s. That's why I asked. So what was your favorite?
No, you still had totally had, like, the Fox Kids lineup. So you had, like, X-Men, Batman, Animaniacs. My favorite is probably Batman the Animated Series. That show's just good.
Yeah.
Like,
it really is.
Like, revisiting that. Like, as a kid, it might or may not have been my favorite, but revisiting it now as an adult, I'm like, oh, they weren't making a kids show. They were making a show that was appropriate for kids to watch.
Yes.
And I think that's why it holds up so much better than something like X-Men, which I love. Like, I own animation cells from the X-Men cartoon, but it's definitely a kids show.
Yeah.
You know, it was a show made for children. But, yeah, Batman the Animated Series is just good. Bruce Timm's, like, sense of design is, like, just stellar. It's such a good show.
This is going to come up in a few minutes, but there's always the guy that says, Kevin Conroy's my favorite Batman. I don't like that.
I mean,
doesn't count.
He is, like, that's the voice I hear in my head when I read Batman comics.
Uh-huh.
But, like, yeah, that's kind of cheating, guys.
Right? You gotta be that guy. That's so funny. I always tell people, go check out Warner Brothers. While they have not done the best with the DCU and a lot of the properties that they own, actually, their animated films are quite good.
Oh, yeah. Most of them are pretty excellent. Some of them are, like, I could take or leave, but, like, yep. Batman Under the Red Hood is, like, one of the best adaptations of a comic book I've ever seen. Like,
yeah, and they are adult in nature, typically.
Yeah.
I mean, The Killing Joke is a pretty dark, I don't know if I love the animated adaptation, but it's
dark.
Yeah,
I don't really like, yeah. I wish it was better since they had Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy, but.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, okay, for me, it's hard to remember. I remember there being, like, a WrestleMania show, like, animated series. So you had, like, Hulk Hogan and, like, Mr. T, and all those guys were, like, animated. I remember Mr. T had his own show at one point, too. But there was some show, I can't remember what it's called, but it was, like, based on the old video games. So there was, like, a cartoon animated, like, Q-Bert and, like, those guys. I want to say, like, Pac-Man was even on it, but I can't remember what it was. I just remember, like, watching it on Saturday morning.
Was that the one that the guy who played Mario hosted?
I don't remember. No, it felt like it was a straight cartoon. I don't know if it was, like, hosted.
Okay.
See, that's how long it's been. I can't even fucking remember anymore. All I know is, like...
Mario Brothers show, though, which was quite awesome.
An animated one, right?
Actually mixed with animated, yeah.
Yeah.
And you get to sell the stuff on there, too. It was really cool.
Yeah, see, that might be the one I'm... I think that's the one I'm thinking of, too. But I feel like they brought in some older characters sometimes. I know Pac-Man had a show, too, so I don't know if it was, like... I'm thinking of two different shows or they're integrated in some way, but that's what I'm remembering. So, what about you, Hedda?
I have a lot. I loved Saturday morning cartoons. I watched all the Looney Tunes stuff. I was into anything Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, God, I love Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah. I watched the fucking MC Hammer cartoon. I mean, I lived for Saturday morning cartoons. But my favorites were Thundercats and then He-Man and She-Ra.
Did those count as Saturday mornings, though? They were? Then I would fucking totally have Thundercats on my fucking list.
Well, they were Saturday or Sunday morning. I'm not sure, but they were the weekends. But they had, like, He-Man. They'd have, like, 2 to 4 episodes of He-Man in a row, and then you'd get, like, a She-Ra episode. And then Thundercats was I think Thundercats was on with a mix of Voltron and, I think, Transformers. I fucking love Voltron, too. Oh, my God, I love Voltron.
See, some of these, like, when you say Animaniacs, those were the shows. So, like, TV was weird, and you're from this area. You're like near LA. You're in LA. I'm near LA. So you might have had a similar experience, Matt. But, like, I would come home from school and there'd be cartoons on from like 1:30 to like 2, and then you'd get I Love Lucy or like Gilligan's Island for like a couple hours, and then it'd go news for like 4 hours until the 7 o'clock lineup.
Yeah.
So when I hear Animaniacs and shit, I always put it in that 2:30 spot rather than that Saturday morning spot in my head.
But that's when they'd show, like, the reruns. Saturdays were the new episode.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense then. Okay. Cool. Man, that was nostalgic. But I don't think we need to say anything else, so let's go to the next question. Let's start with Matt for this. And I don't remember if I got the name of my answer, but I'll throw it out there anyway. Where is a bucket list place you'd like to travel that you've seen featured in a movie or TV show? Don't say space.
No. all right, it's the cliche answer that so many people give, but I'd love to go to Hobbiton.
Yes!
What is that? What am I missing?
New Zealand.
From, like, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. I see.
No, but specifically, I want to go to the Hobbit village and just, like, hang out. Like, they seem really chill. You know, everybody's got weed. There's good food. It just seems like a good time. I'm a little tall, but, you know, if Gandalf can do it.
That's pretty. I feel like it blends in with me with, like, Lost, when the people, you know, because they film Lost in, like, the lush part of Hawaii.
Yeah.
So I just think of lots of greens, but probably two different types of temperatures. I'm into cheesy stuff. There's this, I actually did it once. There's a restaurant in LA that is in like fucking every goddamn movie you've ever seen. I want to say it's in Heat. It's in Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually been to that one. As far as that, like, I don't really know, man. I think like that. I always thought the island in, God, I love getting old cause you forget shit. What's the DiCaprio movie? The Beach.
Oh, the beach. That's in Thailand somewhere, I believe.
Yeah, I know. I'm terrified to leave my state, and I'm terrified to fly, but I would probably check that out sometime.
Well, yeah, but ironically, the crew destroyed that fucking island.
Yeah, I know.
They did.
Yeah, I want to go see the damage they did. I actually like more of the nerdy shit. Like, the fact that that restaurant's been used so many times is interesting to me. I like, and that's the cool thing about, like, I've been in L.A. at work on a job site, and there was they're just filming Sons of Anarchy around the corner. Like, it's just, that's how, like, L.A. is a lot of times. So I like that kind of, when you see shit in the background and then you see it in real life, that kind of stuff is fun for me. I like the boring stuff.
Savannah was one of the places that I wanted to go forever. And I finally got to a couple years ago. I went down there to actually.
You went down to Georgia?
I went down to Georgia. I went to go meet my friend the devil.
Podcast devil went down to Georgia.
But yeah, I went down there actually for a race in South Carolina. But yeah, we went through Savannah, so I'm going, okay, I saw the bench where Forrest Gump got to sit. I got to see the house from Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, and besides that, I just love old cities like that. So that was a neat thing for me too, seeing those things in real life. I wanted to go to Ireland so I could see some of the places where Game of Thrones was filmed and that kind of thing too. But my big one was the same as yours. It's New Zealand. I've wanted to go to New Zealand since they started doing the Eco Challenge, and that was like 20 something years ago on I think the Discovery Channel or Travel Channel or something. But I was like, oh my gosh, this place is beautiful. And then I was obsessed about Lord of the Rings for, I don't know, I still am.
She still is.
For 20 years. So that's where I want to go. I want to go smoke some pipe weed and be a fucking hobbit.
Right? It just sounds lovely.
It does. You've got the right idea. So you and I can go, and I can keep going to restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like restaurants. Not during a pandemic, obviously. But let me just ask this, too. Since you do live in the L.A. area, Matt, have you ever been an extra in a film or been around a production shooting of some kind?
Yeah, I haven't been, like, an extra in anything big. I did, like, student films in college. I was in everybody's stuff.
It's called porn, Matt.
I was, like, a theater kid. I don't want everyone to know.
I work for Stallone. All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Keep going.
No, yeah, but, and, you know, a lot of those guys wound up, like, working on sets, so I would, like, go check out what they were doing and stuff, but I've never, like, been in the background of anything big.
How about celebrity sightings?
Not really.
Really?
Like, yeah, I mean, I'm out in the suburbs, so.
Well, I grew up in Huntington Beach, but... and I would still see people. Like, you know what I mean? Either
I'm in Cerritos. I'm far enough from Huntington Beach that we don't even see anybody. So.
But you're more in L.A. than I am, and I was in suburbia. So that, like, I'm just saying, yeah, that's no excuse.
Yeah.
That's so funny, Cerritos. I love Cerritos. I used to go to Cerritos Mall all the time.
Nice.
All right, let's go to question number 5. We're going to do a little fictional death match. And Heather had suggested Michael Keaton versus Christian Bale's Batman, who would win. I'm saying let's do all four, Matt. And as I mentioned earlier, we're not including Kevin Conroy's Batman, if that person
– Or Ben Affleck.
You know what? Yeah, throw Affleck in there. He counts. Let's rank him, and who would win?
Ben Affleck's Batman might win just because he's a fucking psychopath.
Seriously. He does. Here's my thing about the Affleck's. He's like, there's a couple – when he takes down those dudes, when he jumps over the crate and shit, like, he's badass in that scene. But he also flips, like, what's clearly, like, a one-ton crate, and he's not that dude. Like, he's buff.
Yeah.
But he's doing damage that seems a little otherworldly in that movie.
Yep, and he's not supposed to. That's the cool thing about Batman. He's just a dude.
Yeah, he's a bad dude. Yeah. He's a bad dude.
Well, but I mean, it's pretty Dark Knight Returns, that whole fight sequence.
Yep, very. Where,
like, I kind of, that fight sequence, I have a lot of other problems with that movie, but that fight sequence, I'm like, I buy it, whatever.
Like, I'll buy in. It's nice to see Batman get a little pissed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And do a little damage. So.
No, but I think, actually, Batfleck is too distracted by his, like, rage boner that he'd get taken out immediately.
Okay.
So.
See, I feel like Clooney goes down first because he's apologizing for playing Batman the whole time, and somebody just gets him.
See, and I accept his apology, but he's out.
Yeah.
Oh, see, and I think that Val Kilmer goes down first because he's asleep at the wheel like he is in Batman Forever.
Oh. See, I would say that movie is underrated. As far as the Batman stuff, I actually thought he did a good job. I really hated Tommy Lee Jones.
I think he is so boring in that movie. He so clearly doesn't want to be there. I actually think performance-wise, like when he's out of the suit, I'd put Clooney over Kilmer.
No.
No.
At least that's like an issue of the movie overall. Batman Forever is kind of boring.
Well, that's and why it's the forgotten. Be. It's the forgotten. Yeah, it's the forgotten Batman film. But it's fun. I like it. It's not one that I'm gonna throw in on the regular Batman Returns. But yeah, it's not bad.
All right. So who wins the fight?
I think
Keith does.
Yeah, I think Keaton's got enough of the psychopath in him that Affleck does, but without the anger.
Yeah, that, and like, I think Bale's too weighed down. He might have the athleticism and martial arts skills over Keaton, but he's also way too angsty. And yeah, I think.
Well, what it comes down to is the most Batman moment in all of those like first four movies is Bruce Wayne just sitting at his house waiting to become Batman.
Yeah,
like that's all he. That's all.
It's sure. Does, yeah,
is he waits for that light to come on so he can be Batman.
I mean, he's got a severe disadvantage in that he can't turn his head in the suit.
Okay, but which Christian Bale are we doing? Because if we're doing Batman Begins Bale, he can't turn his head either. So
I can't turn it. Well, like Keaton has to move like he has to move his whole body to look left. Like Christian Bale can go like slightly to the left. Keaton's he's always looking forward. Probably go Dark Knight, Batman, Christian Bale if I'm picking the best one to fight. However, I have to go Keaton too. He's just my favorite Batman. I just think he'd find a way.
Yeah.
I like Bale's Batman a lot, but Keaton,
I honestly those are my that's one of my favorite trilogies. I have the three posters framed when you come in my door, in my home. I love them. I think they're near flawless. I even like Rises. You got to remember they lost the Joker and still put out the Dark Knight Rises and it was still pretty good. Keaton's the best Bruce Wayne. I think that's the key to a good Batman being a good Bruce Wayne. So, okay, nobody's going to fight me on it. Let's go to question six. So, we're finally here. This question is really just for Matt, Heather. You might just want to sit back for a second. So,
I have opinions, too.
Okay. The reason I want to bring Matt on the show, and we got into this on his. I don't know why I hyperfixate on things sometimes, but I do. So, I'm going back because I have to choose a movie to show to Zach when I went on their show. And I was leaning towards, like, Romero, Dawn of the Dead, like, one of my favorites, Night of the Living Dead. As throughout High Tension, as one that I like a little indie foreign kind of thing that I kind of like that I think is interesting. It's got a little twist to it.
It's fine.
And they chose that because they thought it was a good way to introduce him maybe to a new subgenre, which was foreign horror films. As I'm going through the catalog to make sure I don't pick anything that's already been picked, I come across on Matt Makes Zach Watch Horror Movies the film Cape Fear. And admittedly, the word fear's in the title, but in my opinion, that's about it. So, Heather, join me. What are your thoughts on this?
Okay, since I am an objective party here, I'm going to read to you the definition of horror.
Okay.
Horror is a genre of fiction which is intended to or has the capacity to frighten, scare, disgust, or startle its readers or viewers by inducing feelings of horror and terror. Well, that could just be about any movie then, because some people are afraid.
Yeah.
So you watch Nemo and you're going to be scared. However, I think Cape Fear falls into that category of like Seven, Silence of the Lambs, where yeah, you can do an add-on as horror as part of the genre.
Yeah, I think Cape Fear is like a hybrid. It's a horror thriller.
Oh, I could not disagree more. Here, let's go to the Bible. Let's go to Heather, stop for one second. I'll let you keep going. Let's go to IMDb, where it's straight out called a thriller film. It's
okay,
not.
But what makes a thriller different from a horror?
You answer your own question if you know.
I don't. That's the problem. I mean, the term thriller is actually a pretty relatively new term.
I think the thriller term is more about feeling that angst, the suspense, the
happiness.
Not actually being afraid. Like, I've watched Seven probably 50 times. That movie does not scare me. I am not terrified by it. Now, if I watch Poltergeist, I'm going to be creeped out.
But you could argue that Seven has horror elements to it. There's vicious murders.
Cape Fear, though.
Nah.
A horror
movie. What about Cape Fear doesn't have a horror element? The whole last act is him being a slasher. And it's also made in the style of Night of the Hunter, one of the classic proto-slasher horror movies.
I think that's really with serial killers, though. It's serial killer stuff horror. I don't feel like it is.
Not always.
Even though Jason technically is serial killer or other, you know, other examples of that. But it's walking a really, really thin.
I understand, like, why you would say it's not horror, and I'm actually totally fine with that. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of a hybrid movie. I think it's at the very least, most especially like serial killer thrillers are at least horror adjacent, if not always horror.
Horror adjacent's fair. I'll give you that, because I wouldn't bring Jason and Freddy in because they have a creature or a death. They're already dead.
They're supernatural.
Yeah, so yeah. That you're but already then, eliminated that and brought them into horror just by doing that.
Okay, what makes the original Friday the 13th horror and not thriller?
That's a good point. I mean, you could say The Mask. Again, she
doesn't wear a mask in the original.
The
one.
Sack?
She's just an old lady.
I thought. Wait, we don't see. She doesn't wear a sack or a mask in the first one?
No, that's two.
Oh,
he wears the sack.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. Regardless, again, you're doing. It's a prototypical horror film. So, I would
but
give.
Why?
I don't know, because I can't really think of the whole plot right now, so I don't want to get into that.
I think genre is just more malleable than people like to think of it as.
Maybe sometimes, but, yeah, but. You know. Here's the thing. So, Death Proof. Everyone already said Death Proof was like a slasher film with a car. Okay?
Yeah.
You got things like Copycat or something like that, where these murderers are having these serial killers. I would put them more into thriller categories than I would horror categories.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But I like your terminology of horror adjacent. I guess this frustrates me on two levels. A, that it's not a horror film. B, that you showed it to him before so many other horror films he needs to fucking see. The fact he went horror adjacent so early in the show, I think is what frustrated the shit out of me.
We try on the show to not pick just the big obvious ones. And at that time for our season one, every month there would be a theme.
Mm-hmm.
So specifically then our theme was like Oscar nominated or Oscar winning horror.
Mm-hmm.
And we always try to throw in, of the four that we would do, we would always try to throw in one that was kind of outside of the box. So that was like our outside of the box pick.
It was definitely outside of the box.
All the acting nominations.
Well, that's totally fair. I don't. That's absolutely fair.
That way, it's not just, you know, because our other picks for horror month were Alien, Silence of the Lambs, and The Exorcist. And it's like, yeah, there's other ones that I think of first when I think of like Oscar nominated horror,
mm-hmm.
or even just horror in general. Like Cape Fear isn't like one of my favorite horror movies. But it's a really interesting one to slot in there because you specifically wind up looking at performance.
Yeah, I still got frustrated, but and I still felt like there's so many things that should have come first. And then, so I was just thinking about this real quick. So here's one. Like, Jaws to me has always felt.
We covered Jaws.
I know. No, that's fine. It gets deemed as horror. It really has a thriller vibe to it, but it is a giant man-eating shark. So, again, I guess I understand there's films that could kind of go either way.
Yeah.
Well,
Jaws is almost a creature feature, you know?
It is, except that it's real, but then they almost make it sentient, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Either way, you're still wrong.
Here's one of my answers for it, is sometimes horror is aesthetic. I was listening to something, and they were talking about Silence of the Lambs versus Manhunter. Because okay. I don't think of Manhunter as a horror movie, but no. I do think of Silence of the Lambs as a horror movie. Why is that? And somebody just said, because in Manhunter, Hannibal Lecter is in prison. In Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter lives in a dungeon.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the way it makes you... Like, I've talked about this on the show before. I watched this thing back in my Saturday morning cartoon era where they were breaking down horror movies and what makes them scary. And what they did is they showed a scene from one of the Friday the 13th where the girl's running through the woods and then he comes walking behind her with a knife. And then they rewound it and they set it to, like, Looney Tunes Animaniacs-style music. And it's not scary at all. It's almost funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Mentos thing with JCVD.
Yeah, that's the story about Halloween was John Carpenter showed the producers an early cut, and they were like, this movie sucks.
And then he
brought it back when he did the keyboards for one scene, showed them that scene. They're like, oh, my God, the editing is so much tighter, and it looks so much better. I don't know what you did, but you really made it work. We're excited for this movie. He's like, all I did was add a ba-da-da.
Yeah, exactly.
I think another one that's ambiguous that I've always had trouble with is Gremlins. That is just as much a comedy to me as it is a horror movie. And that is the movie
horror comedy. Yeah.
But there's creatures, there's supernatural, there's some fucked up parts with the blender and the microwave and shit too.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of it's creature death, but I mean they still kill a woman too. They throw her out the window and yeah, there's some pretty effed up parts of that movie. That movie is a horror movie first, but it's very close to comedy second. But
then what about Gremlins 2, where it's a comedy first and a horror second?
Yeah.
You know, like, does that kick Gremlins 2 out of the genre?
Exactly.
But it's a comedy. Kind of a horror movie. Like,
all right, here's a better one. What about Saw? So the first Saw is a brilliant movie, and it's got seven, like, elements to it, but Saw, the original Saw, is nothing like every film that came after. In fact, I believe I saw – maybe it wasn't Saw. Shit. I could be wrong on this. I read something the other day. I think it's like the original Saw is the only one that doesn't feature nudity or something else. It's James Wan. It's a really good fucking movie. You haven't seen fucking the original Saw. Go see it. But every other after it is a full-on torture porn movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. There are some gory moments in the first one, though, that I think it still belongs in that horror category because you have the gore aspect.
Well, yeah, Saw's goal is to scare you, whereas, like, Seven's goal is to make you think, you know?
Yeah. And it does. Like, Seven's lingered me for a long time after. It still has, man. Who can get a box on their porch? And I go, what's in the box?
here's what I'm going to say. I should mention, the question was, what is a horror movie? And follow-up question, is Cape Fear a fucking horror movie? Now, I want to give Matt props for coming on here and defending his case, because I think he did a good job. I'm still going to say he's wrong, but I'm glad that we could have him on to fucking talk about it. So.
Genre is malleable, and it means different things to different people.
Something malleable. No one says malleable that many times in a day, goddammit. Not even when they're working with Play-Doh. All right, so this brings us to question number seven. So we have this theory on the show, and we've always been right. Everyone does a bad celebrity impression. So this is where we would ask you to do yours. However, we are giving everyone an out because of COVID. We know everyone's going through a hard time. So if you do not want to do impression, you can get by that by telling us what's the strangest thing that you've done in quarantine. What would you like to take?
I'll go for impression.
All right, you're a badass. I like it. Nobody's let us down yet.
All right, I'm trying to think of a good one. Well, I mean, you've got George Lucas. He's a good go-to. He's very fun to do an impression of.
You know what's so funny? Sad That's what boy. Fucking Zach did.
Yeah.
We'd bring up George Lucas a lot on our podcast, but
you should.
He's a fun to do also. You know.
I'll take it. That was fantastic. I'll take it.
Fun.
I want a Two Georges podcast where you and Zach just talk like George for 15 minutes to each other.
That has happened on our podcast.
I gotta go find that. God damn it. Okay. You guys are awesome. Listen to that.
We're talking about Spielberg, so.
Naturally. All right, man. Well, that brings us to the end of the Series 7. It's time to play the game. Let's go do that.
The game. Don't blow it, the game.
The game is simple, Matt. I've chosen three films for you. For each film, I will give you seven clues taken from IMDb because they are the Bible. These include the correct genre, year of the film, actors in the film, director, tagline. If you were to get the film on the first clue, you get 7 points, second clue, 6 points, so on down. 21's a perfect score, probably not going to happen. We say if you get a 12 or better, you've done fairly well. Okay?
All right.
All right, so your first film for 7 points is a 2013 action thriller. Or as you call them, horrors.
I'm going to need the next hint.
We say that, like, you don't feel stupid. Just blurt a name out. You might be right. Just throw a movie out there. You never know.
I'm trying to think of, like, an action movie from.
We're not going to judge or anything.
You could just say Cape Fear. And
yeah.
Cape Fear.
Oh, that's a horrible fucking answer. Jesus Christ. All right, for 6 points, Amy Ryan is in this movie. The lovely Amy Ryan.
I don't know who Amy Ryan is.
Really? She was on The Office for a while. She's been in a lot of movies. She dated Steve Carell in The Office. As you kids know her. What else? She's been in some movies.
Oh, is this Skyscraper?
No, that's incorrect. I don't think you know who Amy Ryan is. All right, let's go.
No.
Let's go to the tagline for the film for 5 points. No one breaks out alone.
Is this what's the one? It's Sylvester Stallone and Arnold, like escape the prison or something.
What is
Breakout?
It?
I don't know what it's called.
That's a fun movie.
Oh, this is gonna be really funny if you don't know it, but you know it because. So what's your actual answer? Because you said one word.
Escape.
Yes, but there's a second one. By the way, they've made three of these movies.
I've seen.
Oh yeah, Dave Bautista's in one of them, right? Because Arnold is like, yeah, no,
yeah,
thank you.
It's a whole, there's a whole bunch of people in these things.
I don't know what it's called. I know it's Escape something.
Oh, say a word.
Escape. It's not Escape Room. That's a different movie.
Okay. All right, let's go to your next one. Jim Caviezel's in this movie. This is funny because you know it and you can't say it, and I love it.
Yeah, I got nothing. I guess I'm just not going to get this one, man.
You got to think ahead, man. You got to, you know, think ahead.
There are words out there.
Come up with a, not an idea. Come up with a, when you're thinking ahead, you want
to. Escape plan.
There you go. I'll give you 3 points for that.
All right.
Okay. So, your second film for 7 points is a 1996 drama thriller.
Six drama Fear. Thriller.
Yeah.
Is it Cape Fear?
That's incorrect. For 6 points, Alyssa Milano was in this movie.
I do
God,
love the movie.
Loved her when I was growing up. I had her pictures on my wall, all her Teen Beat, Big Bopper, the girls in my class would give it to me.
I saw this movie in the theater. It was my first R-rated movie that I saw in the theater when I was 16, and I snuck in.
There's another funny tie-in for this movie with today's show, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
I actually almost referenced
fuck
this
it.
Movie.
Remember Zach? You remember Zach saying Matt was going to kill at this after Zach killed at this?
No, I'm really bad at like anything like this where I'm like, oh, give me like a box office or like you know the name of like the director. I don't know, but
oh, we'll get there.
I've been playing the game for 10 years, and I'm still by myself here in my head, and I'm terrible at it.
In fairness to you, and we said this to everyone, it's always harder playing it than listening to it, because there's probably people screaming at the radio right now.
100%, I'm sure. Yeah.
That would do horrible. So, anyway, got a guess for me?
Oh, it's Milano. 96 is the one with Reese Witherspoon.
I can't really say anything like that to you. You have to guess based on the thing. Yeah, we're asking you. It's not the other way around.
Is it Fear?
It is Fear for
okay,
6 points.
Marky Mark, right? Okay.
Yeah, Marky Mark kid. Fucking Mark.
Name it. He gets her name tattooed. Blah 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 forever.
Hey, and it featured William Peterson. So there you go. For Manhunter.
I just always think of It's Always Sunny, where they're like, what's she doing? What's she doing? She's marking herself.
Okay. Here you go. Your last film. I love that, how this worked out. This is a 2003 horror thriller.
Is it Saw?
No, that's incorrect. For 6 points, Desmond Harrington is in this film, and I'm putting him first, even though he's one of the leads, because I think he's the least known person.
I don't know who Desmond Harrington is.
Exactly. So. I will give you a hint. I will give you a hint. He was on Dexter.
I like Dexter, but I don't really remember anybody's name but Michael C. Hall.
All right, you want to go to the next one?
Yeah, go for the next one.
For 5 points, it's the last one you'll ever take. That is the tagline.
Somehow that made it worse.
It's one of those ones, like, again, this. I think the tagline can go either way, because to me it sounded like too obvious, and once you hear it, it'll be super obvious.
Oh, is it One Missed Call?
That's incorrect, but I like your thought process. Okay, for 4 points, Jeremy Sisto is in this movie. This horror film from 2003. That I actually really kind of like. Of these type of horror movies, I tend to like this one.
He's not in a Hostel, is he?
No, he's not.
Okay.
I don't know if this will help you.
I'm trying to think of horror movies with Jeremy Sisto.
The director of this film, for 3 points.
Okay.
There's three that I can actually think of.
Is Rob Schmidt. I don't know if that's going to help you.
Does not.
Yeah. So you asked for a director. I gave you one.
Damn. Yeah, I got nothing, man.
All right.
I actually guessed these today, so you must be pretty bad at this game.
Apparently.
I'll tell you they're remaking this film for this coming year, 2021, and it's by the original writer, actually, which I thought was kind of interesting, the one that wrote this one. For 2 points, the douche is in this, Elizabeth Dushku.
I love her so much.
Oh, it's... I don't even like these ones.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
That's
swear
why I couldn't
God.
Think of it. I think they're fine. I think the first one, the second one is great because Henry Rollins is in it. but the rest of the first two are like fine. It's Wrong Turn.
Yes. The last one you'll ever take.
It's actually interesting.
It does. I like the. I actually like the premise a little more.
Yeah.
I never liked them. I wasn't a big fan of even – we talked about Alexander Aja when I was on your show, but, like, The Hills Have Eyes and, like, some of those films, I'm not a huge fan of them. For whatever reason, I do kind of like Wrong Turn. I don't know why.
I think Wrong Turn at least kind of knows what it is.
Yeah.
Yes. It's of those kinds of movies. I was just telling Mike about them. He's like, how come I've never seen this one? And I was using Hills Have Eyes and Wrong Turn as my main example. But Wrong Turn is probably one of the better ones of them.
Yeah.
But
we do say if you get around 11, you've done a good job though. So you got right. Around a 12, you got an 11. So that's actually
that's
pretty good.
That's really good. Yeah, all right. Double digits. You've been successful.
Now I want give me one sec with this, Heather. I want you to do me a favor right now, Matt. Okay.
Huh.
Of the three films that I just chose for you, I want you to say the first word from each one to me. Please. Please read the first word from each film. Please say this to me.
Wait, like from the title?
Yeah. Take the first word from each title. Take the three. Take the first word from each and say them in the order I gave them to me. Please.
Escape. Fear yep. Wrong?
Yes. Cape Fear was wrong to do on your show. I think it was a bad choice. you know what? It's still a good show, and I think you guys should listen. Anyway, thank you for coming on the show, Matt. It was nice to have
you
on and talk to you, man.
This was awesome.
Please, one more time, plug anything you'd like to plug.
Oh, yeah. You can find Matt Makes Zach Watch Horror Movies. You can find us at mattmakeszach.com. We're on every podcasting streaming service. I also do art. You can follow me just about anywhere as I Draw Paintings. And every now and then I stream live on Twitch as I Draw Painting. Just drop the S.
There you go. All right, man. Thanks for having us. Heather, is there anything you plug in?
Yeah, you can follow our MILFcast on Facebook. I'm going to get...
She can't get into our Instagram, everybody. She forgot the password.
And it's on, I'm not shitting you either, it's on an email so old that I started it in high school. It's Punky Lee at fucking Yahoo.
Oh my god, I remember that one.
Yep, and I can't get into it. So so I'm probably just going to have to start a new one. I don't have a backup or anything like that. So yeah, Instagram, we'll probably have a new one coming soon. And I have nothing on my website because I've been busy writing a book, which seems totally fair. But if you want to follow me on my Instagram, I'm not doing anything, but my cat does yoga. So you can watch my cat do yoga with me at Header Time 1981. And you should probably follow Kai too, because he has fancy artsy stuffs and stuff.
Yeah, I've had a really good year considering I didn't do any events. We had our greatest year of events lined up, but I didn't get to do fucking any of them. So, yeah, please follow me at The Amazing Kiderman on Instagram. That's where I put all my artwork. It's my public account. Please go get Rhyme Time Season 4, or at least go check it out. If you want, you can go to my website, kybparker.com. I actually did a write-up about all the hidden references. There are hidden references throughout the album to Scott, to his music, to things, and I actually did a breakdown with numbers where you could see where each hidden thing is, and Scott actually took portions of it and put it inside the album cover, which I thought was really sweet of him to do. He was really good through the whole process, so please support him. It's now on Spotify and all other outlets too, so you can listen to it and see the art there too, at least on the cover. But go ahead and get a physical copy, get those extra songs, and get my art. That's about it. We do this all day, but there's beers to be drank, movies to be seen. I'm going to go do that. We'll see you guys next time. Header!
Where the hell's the goddamn gold oldie coming from?
Goddamn gold oldie's coming from Travers! It's showing a growing file size. So.
I like it when it grows.
That's going on the end of the show. So now I gotta do my joke and you gotta fake laugh at it.
I do that at all your jokes.
I know.
Escape. Fear yep. Wrong?
Yes, Cape Fear was wrong to do on your show. I think it was a bad choice.